Now, as we mentioned at the very beginning of our celebration tonight, tonight is the feast of the most holy body and blood of Christ, or more commonly known as Corpus Christi. And sometimes people can ask the question, in fact, I was asked this question several years ago when I was a younger priest. Father, why do we celebrate Corpus Christi? Don't we do that at every Mass? And the truth is, yes, at every Mass we do celebrate the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. It's part of who we are as a people. But the Church, in her wisdom, understands that we can become forgetful. We become lazy. We become kind of routinely doing stuff without really beginning to think about them. So the Church gives us today this solemnity as a way to remind us to step back and remember why we do things, why we celebrate in this way, and why we come to this place tonight to celebrate this Eucharistic feast. Because we can forget. There's a very silly story, but it's an illuminating story. One time a mother was cooking a pot roast, and she took the pot roast and she cut a little bit off the end and put it in the pan, and her daughter asked her why she cut off that little piece of pot roast. She says, I don't know, my mom always did it, so I do it. So she went to her grandma, and said to her, Grandma, why do we always cut that little end of the pot roast off before we cook it? And the grandma says, I don't know, my mom always did it. And so the little girl went to her great-grandmother and said, Great-grandma, why did you cut the end off of the pot roast? She answered, well, my pan wasn't big enough. Now, her daughter and her granddaughter had big enough pans, but they just were following routine instead of asking the question, why do we do this? And in many ways tonight, that is the question that we confront. Why do we do this? Why do we come here week after week or day after day to celebrate? And the only answer that we have, of course, is we have a faith in not what we receive, but who we receive. We understand deeply within our hearts that it is Jesus Christ whom we receive in the Eucharist, not simply bread and wine, not simply a symbol of his body and blood, but the true fullness of who Jesus is, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And it is in recognizing that gift of who we receive that then we begin to model ourselves on what we do. Because truly, we come here out of a gift of love. That love that God has for us, that he accepts from us, that he offers to us, that interchange of love that occurs as we celebrate this Eucharist. And it's a good way for us to remember what we pray is what we become. And as St. Augustine would say, what we receive is what we become. We become what we receive in that gift of God's love for us. And so, as we look at what we pray, we should be attentive to what the Church asks us to see within this Eucharist, to hear within this Eucharist, and to become within this Eucharist. Because it begins with that prayer, and you'll hear it after the preparation of gifts on the altar, where the priest says, Lord, make my gift and yours acceptable to the Lord. My gift and yours. What is your gift? What is your gift to God this night? How do we bring ourselves to this altar to be transformed, to be made new, to become the image of Jesus in the world? Because the offering that you bring to this altar is your very lives, to become the body of Christ, as we will pray in the Eucharistic prayer, to become more like Jesus, more loving, more forgiving, more merciful, more compassionate, to carry forth the Word of God into a world. But that takes the gift of faith, that gift of love, that gift of blessing that we accept from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in his body and blood, his soul and divinity that we receive this night. But I'd also like you to think of some of the words that you will hear in the Eucharistic prayer, that while I as a priest may pray them, you are called to actively participate in this celebration, allowing those words to echo within your hearts, to grow and to expand and to be blessed, as the great Second Vatican Council proclaimed, to be fully active and participant in this great mystery. This mystery that they tell us is the source and the very summit of our faith. That we come here to receive the very grace from God that allows us to live our lives as Christians, to allow us to live our lives as sons and daughters, brothers and sisters in the one true living God. And so I'd like you to listen to a few of the words of prayer that you will hear tonight when we pray the Eucharistic prayer. We begin the prayer with, "You give life to all things and make them holy, and you never cease to gather a people to yourself." Recognizing that God is the giver of all, the giver of my very life, and everything that surrounds me is a gift from God. God, you give us everything, and you gather us to remind ourselves, to remember the gifts that we are sharing, the gifts that we are, and that we are made holy in the presence of God, that we are made holy in the love of God, that we're made holy in our relationship with God, seeking him with our hearts opened to hear his words. And then the priest will continue and he will say, "And giving thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take this. The body of Christ, take this. The blood of Christ, take this.'" It is that reminder that God gives his very self to us. "And giving thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, 'Take this for the forgiveness of sins.'" Take this because God wants us with him. God desires us to be with him. God forgives us our sins so that we may stand with him, that we may be embraced by him, that we may be surrounded by him in the reception of the body and blood, the soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we take God, not in grasping, not in grabbing, not in hoarding, but gently within our hands, within our mouth, receiving him as that kiss of joy, that kiss of blessing, that kiss of love. We continue, "We offer you thanksgiving for this holy and living sacrifice." We offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. In thanksgiving, we offer to God what he has given to us, our very selves, the very person of Jesus Christ, becoming united with him as one body, one blood, one church, one faith. We lift ourselves up to be offered again and again and again as we offer Jesus over and over in our Eucharistic feast. And grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, may be filled with this Holy Spirit and become one body, one spirit in Christ. That unity, we become one, what we profess, one holy, Catholic, and apostolic. That we become one, united with Jesus and with our brothers and sisters, where we enter into that dialogue of blessing, that dialogue of peace, that dialogue of hope, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, reminding ourselves that we do not do this here alone, that our destination is heaven, that we are made for heaven, that when we celebrate here on earth, the heavenly choirs of angels, the saints that surround the altar of our Lord, sing hallelujah, hosanna in the highest, as we come forward and say, amen, I believe, in receiving the very presence of God, the reality of God, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, in the body and blood. And we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. And yes, in a world so torn by hatred and violence, by division, by ego, by whatever you want to call it, we remind ourselves that God gives us peace. As Jesus says, not the peace of the world, but my peace. The peace that heals divisions, a peace that calms the waters of disturbance, a peace that brings fulfillment to our lives. As we share in this sacred meal, a peace that drives us forth to heal the brokenhearted, to bind the wounds of those who are injured, and to comfort those who are sorrowing. And gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. And yes, the truth and reality is that so many of our brothers and sisters are scattered throughout the world, choosing not to be here. Some who have fallen away from the faith, some who have lost their faith, some who have been hurt by their faith, but choose not to be here with us this night. And we remind ourselves that it is God's work, our work, to gather his people, his children with us together, so that our church may not be, so that our church may be as it is on Easter and Christmas. That each Sunday, the church overflows with the people of God because they come not to receive something, but someone. That person, our Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we truly believe that he is present in the Eucharist, if we truly believe that he comes to us fully and completely and desires us to be united with him, why would we not be here? Why would we choose not to be here? And so our prayer is that those who have fallen away, those who have walked away, those who have been hurt, that through our words, our blessings, our work with God, that they may be healed and join us in this Eucharistic feast. That our church may overflow with the people of God. That our church may be filled with the grace of God. And that we may receive him with a heart made ready and a soul made pure.